Today, we'd like to see the title of In the Reign of Jehoiakim in Jeremiah chapter 26 and 27. To the souls on this online world through podcast or YouTube channel, on there, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in chapter 26, verse 2, there says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, speak to all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command you to speak to them, do not diminish a word. What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 26, verse 18, Micah of Moreshet prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, this says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruin, and the mountains of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? Last question in chapter 27, verse 22, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall be until the day that I visit them, said the Lord. Then I will bring them up and restore them to this place. What does it mean, and how can you apply it to our lives? Here the tables, Judah's king's order. So here 15th Josiah king, but his son Jehoash, today's main character Jehoiakim, Joachim's son Zechariah, only 6 months and reigned. Then Zedekiah, Josiah's son, is 19th, the last king. In the last time, Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 38, he had left his lair like the lion. For their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger, God's fierce anger. Jeremiah warned that judgment was coming, yet offered a clear choice, turn to the law, serve him and live, or reject him and face destruction. God has said before everyone the way of life, the way of death. You can surrender to God, live to please him and be spared, or you can follow the path of unrighteousness, shut God out, and face his wrath. One day, all will stand before God. Those not found in the book of life will face the second death. God said, drink the cup. You may refuse now, but judgment is certain. Now you can heed the warning of God, or you can ignore the warning of God. If you ignore it, it is to your own destruction. Chapter 26. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word came from the Lord saying, this chapter occurring before chapter 25 took place in the first year of Jehoiakim's reign. Jehoiakim in 690 before Christ was known as a materialist and self-centered disobedient king, as it detailed in Jeremiah 36:30-32 and 2 Kings 23:37, according to all the fathers had done, and the evil king. Then here too, there said the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not diminish a word. This is question one. God is committed to the integrity of immutability of his word, meaning his will not delete or add to it. Even if his message is difficult for the audience to accept, this principle explicitly warned against in Revelation chapter 22 is upheld solely for the glory of God, affirming the perfection and authority over His revealed truth. The cross reference there. Verse 3, perhaps everyone will listen and turn from his evil way, that I may relent concerning the calamity which I propose to bring on them because of the evil of their doings. The appeal of evil is undeniable, yet what God's justice demands is punishment. His nature is characterized by profound patience and long-suffering. He withholds immediate judgment, not due to indifference, but for good and sovereign purpose, demonstrating His mercy and allowing time for repentance and fulfillment of His divine purpose. Verse 4, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to heed the words of my servants, the prophet whom I sent to you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded. Then I will make this house like a silo. The city of a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priest and the prophet and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Silo was the initial location of a tabernacle after the conquest of Canaan in Joshua's day. It was destroyed by Philistines around 1050 before Christ, serving as a powerful example of divine judgment. The prophecy, I will make the house like a silo, means that Jerusalem and temple would similarly be destroyed, directly challenging the false authority of corrupt religious leaders. This act of judgment mirrors Jesus' own foretelling the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple, to the religious leaders of his day. Verse 8, now it happened when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking, all the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that priest and prophet and all the people seized him, saying, you will surely die, made an end of speaking all. It is notable that despite the hostility of his audience, the speaker was permitted to complete his address. This suggests that completion of the message was likely secured by divine protection, ensuring that God's intended word was fully delivered regardless of the opposition. Verse 9, why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, the house shall be like a shallow, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard this thing, they came out from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gates of the Lord's house. And the priest and prophet spoke to the princess and all the people, saying, this man deserved to die, for he had prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears. Jeremiah was treated as a traitor, because his prophecy foretold the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple. In contrast, the hostile priest and prophet promoted forming a foreign alliance to resist Babylon and maintain their national independence, directly opposing Jeremiah's message of surrender and impending judgment. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against the house and against this city, which are all the words that you have heard. Now therefore amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he had pronounced against you. As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as it seems good and proper to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city, and on its inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing. Verse 6, so the priest and all the people said to the priest and the prophets, this man does not deserve to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Look how fickle the people are compared with the verse 11. Then the certain elders of the land rose up and spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah of Moresha prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruin, and the mountains of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. The elders recalled the prophecy of Micah, which was similar to Jeremiah's message in calling for repentance and returning away from wickedness. Although Micah's audience historically is bounded by repenting and returning to God, the elders in Jeremiah's time merely used the prophecy to spare Jeremiah's life without personally applying its call to repentance or making any actual change in their own lives. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah ever put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and seek the Lord's prayer? And the Lord relented concerning the doom which he had pronounced against them. But we are doing great evil against ourselves. In pivotal act, Hezekiah chose not to execute the prophet, but sparing the prophet's life, the nation effectively gained a temporary reprieve or brought a little time before the eventual judgment. Verse 20, now there was also a man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Elijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kiriath-Jearim, who prophesied against the city, against this land, according to all the words of Jeremiah. Uriah faced a prophet whose message of judgment was similar to Jeremiah, but his life and work are otherwise not widely documented in the biblical narrative. And when Jehoiakim the king, with all his mighty men, all the princes who heard his word, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went to Egypt. Then Jehoiakim the king sent a man to Egypt, Elnathan the son of Akrab, and other men who went with him to Egypt. And they brought Uriah from Egypt and brought him to Jehoiakim the king, who killed him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the land of Achan, the son of Shaphan, was with Jerusalem, Jeremiah, so that they should not give him into the hand of people to put him to death. Chapter 27. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yoke, and put them on your neck. Nebuchadnezzar had already initiated his invasion and taken many captives from Judah. In this context, the yoke wooden frame used to harness animals for plowing served as a visible object lesson and a symbol of bondage or servitude. It visually conveyed the message that the people of Judah had a critical choice. They must submit to Babylon captivity or face utter destruction. Verse 3, and send them to the king of Edom, king of Moab, king of Ammonite, the king of Tyre, the king of Sidon, by the hand of messengers who came to Jerusalem, to Zedekiah king of Judah, and commanded them. The period following prophet so Jehoiakim reigned for 11 years, succeeded briefly by Jeconiah, whose reign lasted only about 3 months until his death, after which Zedekiah commenced his own reign, and commanded them to say to their masters, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. My servant and beast of the field, I have also given him to serve him." Verse 7. "So all nations shall serve him, his son, his son's son, until the time of the land comes, and then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them." This scenario highlights the reliability of God's promise, especially the decree that after 3 generations, the power of Babylon would fall. Jeremiah's ongoing role was to consistently deliver this persistent message to the people. Verse 8, "And it shall be, and the nation and the kingdom will not be served Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord, with the sword, famine, and the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Because of their disobedience to God, the people will face the severe consequences of divine judgment manifested through the destructive arrival of the soul pestilence of famine through Babylon. Therefore, do not listen to your prophet, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers, who speak to you, saying, 'You shall not serve the king of Babylon.' For they prophesy a lie to you to remove your power from your hand, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. But the nations that bring their necks on the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell it." True prophet faithfully deliver God's word exactly as they receive it. They do this even when the word is harsh or difficult for the people to hear, because their loyalty is to God's truth, not to audience comforts. Verse 12, "I also spoke to Zedekiah king of Judah according to all these words, saying, 'Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live.'" The command to submit and live functions as a profound parallel to the core message of the gospel. Just as the nation was urged to submit to earthly power to survive the physical destruction, the gospel urges us to submit to Jesus Christ in faith to gain eternal life. The underlying choice remains the same. Why stubbornly resist the sovereign authority, whether it be a king or a Christ, and consequently face spiritual deaths? Verse 13, "Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore do not listen to the words of the prophet who speak to you, saying, 'You shall not serve the king of Babylon,' for they prophesy a lie to you, for I have not sent them, said the Lord. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, and I may drive you out, and that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesy to you. Also I spoke to the priests and to all these people, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophet who prophesies to you, saying, Behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will now shortly be brought back from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this be laid waste?" If they are prophets, if the word of God is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the King of Judah and in Jerusalem, do not go to Babylon. False prophets contradict God's actual word by confidently proclaim that Babylonians would be unsuccessful in conquering the holy city of Jerusalem. They propagated the deceptive message of security, asserting that God would never permit destruction of the holy temple at the holy city of Jerusalem. For the third says the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, concerning the cark, concerning the remainder of a vessel that remained in the city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Egypt, did not take when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of King of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there they shall be until the day that I visit them, said the Lord. Then I will bring them up and restore them to this place. Last question. Following Nebuchadnezzar's first two invasions, 606 before Christ, 597 before Christ, during which many temple vessels used for service to God were taken as a root and true prophet, like Daniel, Ezekiel, or exiled, Jeremiah issued a warning. Although these captives had a profound spiritual impact in Babylon, Jeremiah predicted that more people and the remaining temple treasures would be carried away in third and final invasion, 586 before Christ. While inviting people to hear God's word in the public, Jeremiah knew their hearts were set against God, and his definite prophecy was that all remaining treasures and people would be carried away to Babylon until God's appointed day of return. We covered all three questions. Continue to keep on prayer for a brochure mission report. Also, I wouldn't content, you know, that is song. Also, the next Saturday, we had the Thanksgiving fellowship service at the headquarters. Whoever wants to join there, you may go there. Also, we are ready Thanksgiving gift, God's Word meditation to the 2016 calendar to give anyone on the basis of first come first service. So continue to keep on prayer, God's blessing. We are following God's direction. Here is the people, the soul is Calvary Chapel and I mean it's not any materials at all. God bless you richly.